Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I want you to know that your sufferings have meaning and you can turn your scars into stars. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. Welcome to the program. Let me read the gospel according to John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The one who is hired and not a shepherd, whose sheep are not his own, they see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep and they run. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He runs because he's a hireling and he cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And why is he the good shepherd? Why is he different from all other shepherds? Because he doesn't run away. He doesn't flee. When times get tough, he sticks with the sheep. I love what it says in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 13. It says, I will never fail or forsake you. That's important to know. The good shepherd sacrifices himself for the sheep. I remember one time I was playing golf, and I went out there and I hit the ball, and it was one of those rare times when I hit it into the rough. And I was looking for my ball, and I couldn't find it. I'm looking around. All of a sudden, as I'm looking for my ball, this bird comes out with its wings extended, and it was coming after me as I went toward a certain area, and it was making this funny noise. It was going whoop, whoop, whoop. And I back up, and then the wings would go down. And then I try to go a little bit more forward, and the wings would go up, and she'd come at me again. And I looked in there, and I could see there was a nest on the ground. Apparently, the bird flunked nesting 101. You're supposed to put the nest in the tree, but the bird built her nest on the ground. And I looked in there, and there were five little white things in the nest. None of them were my ball. Well, anyway, that bird was very aggressive, and I must have looked like Goliath, and I had a club in my hand, didn't faze the bird. That was the mother bird protecting her young, and she was willing to sacrifice her life. She was willing to give her life up for her young. And that, to me, is what Jesus is doing here when he says, I am the good shepherd. He's proclaiming to us his love for us. And what is love? Well, you know, psychologists will tell us love is a decision and love is a choice, and that's true. And love is a feeling, of course. You know that when you fall in love with somebody. But more than anything else, I think biblical love, and this is right from the scriptures, the love that God has is sacrificial. It's a giving love. And that's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. That's exactly what Jesus did. He gave his life on the cross for you and for me. He's the good shepherd. And when times get tough, he doesn't leave us. He sticks by us. You know that some shepherds, they actually, when the sheep are sleeping at night, they will actually pull out their cot, their bed, and they will sleep alongside the sheep because they want to protect them even at night. 24/7, God is by your side. He's the good shepherd. He will never leave you. One of the most ancient statues ever found of Christ comes from the 3rd century. It was found in a catacomb beneath the Roman ground there. The catacombs were where the Christians used to worship, and they would hide from the Romans who were persecuting them. Well, the earliest Christian statue ever found was of Jesus the Good Shepherd holding a lamb around his neck. And you can see that statue. And you see the lamb, and the lamb is trying to get away. It tries to struggle. And the good shepherd is holding it around his neck and taking it somewhere. See, that's exactly what the good shepherd does. He protects us. He holds on to us. He keeps us. And what happens is shepherds will actually pick up the lamb and say there's a stream or a river that they need to cross. He will take that lamb through. or say that there's a kind of a valley or a little ravine there or a little crevice, he will take that lamb over the dangerous spots. Same way in our life. Whenever there's danger, wherever there's trouble, wherever there's tough spots, he will take us through. And one thing I need to tell you is that the Good Shepherd usually doesn't take you around. The Shepherd doesn't take you under or even above. Get this now, you got to understand this. The Good Shepherd takes you through. That's what a lot of people don't understand. You might be thinking, well, if he's taking me through, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. It feels like I'm alone. Remember that story, Footprints? You've probably heard of this before. The whole thing of the guy's going through problems in his life, and he has this dream, and he sees two pair of footprints, and then he only sees one pair of footprints, and he goes, when I was struggling, you know, where were you, Lord? And of course, God says to him, that one pair of footprints was my footprints. That's when I was carrying you when you were in trouble. So the Good Shepherd sticks with us. He loves us. He dies for us. He carries us. He brings us through. And I want you to understand that. At 99% of funerals that I go to or I preside at, there's a psalm read, and it's Psalm 23. We're all very familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Are you going through something right now? You could be going through a divorce. You could be going through grieving, loneliness, unemployment, relationship problems. Could be an operation, physical sufferings, depression. There's all kinds of things that people are going through. Be assured that the Good Shepherd sticks with you. You may not feel it, doesn't seem like it at times. It's like that footprint parable. The Good Shepherd is with you to bring you through. I assure you that. Jesus is closer to us than we are to ourselves. And I love what it says. I will never, it says this in the Bible, I will never fail or forsake you. So please get that. I want you to get that deep down in your heart. Jesus doesn't run when things get tough. So he takes us through, and we're going through, but what about growing through? Now, there's something I want you to get. The Good Shepherd is going to take us through things in our life, but it's not just going through, it's growing through. What do I mean by that? Well, you can grow in virtue as you go through things, but most of all, you can grow in your relationship with God as you go through the stuff of life. For example, go through suffering, physical sufferings, go through loneliness, go through depression, go through grieving. You can grow through, and you can develop your relationship with God as you go through the valley of the shadow of darkness. I heard the story about this tree, and it was up on the top of a mountain. And as it was up on the top of the mountain, it had a wonderful view and everything. The only thing was, it was really windy up on top of that mountain. So the tree was up there and being buffeted by the wind all the time, really suffering. And he hated that wind that hit him day after day after day. And he would look down in the valley and he could see all the little trees down there, down in the valley. And there was no wind down in the valley. And so finally he complained and he says, you know, why do I have to suffer up here on this mountain getting all this wind all the time? This is terrible. They have such an easy life down there. This is terrible. I hate this. I have to suffer. Well, one day, the greatest wind that ever hit that mountain hit. I mean, greater than a gale. It was hurricane force winds. I mean, the mountain was just inundated with wind and howling wind. And all the trees, the wind even went down into the valley. All the trees in the valley got knocked over because they weren't used to the wind. But the interesting thing is, up on the top of the mountain, as that wind regaled that tree, the tree stood fast and wasn't knocked over. And you know why? It was because of its past. See, all the wind in the past, all the suffering of the past that he hated, all the stuff that caused him all that pain, you know what it did? It made its roots grow strong. And because of all that suffering and all that buffeting and all that wind, because of that, the roots were deep and strong. And then, when the big wind came, when the hurricane blew, the tree that knocked over all the other trees, that wind, that one tree held fast because it was rooted. and grounded and strong. And I think that's exactly what sufferings do to us. They make our roots go deep. I love what it says in Ephesians. It says, be rooted in Christ. Be grounded in Christ. And then it says that you would know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love for you personally. See, that's Paul's prayer for us, that we'd be rooted. So how do we get rooted? By going through things. You come to know Christ as you go through. You grow through as you go through. And there's no other way to really get to know Jesus except by allowing him to be the shepherd of your life and allowing him to take you through. Let's talk about growing. Let's talk about knowing. Let's talk about getting closer to Christ. I heard about this seminarian. He was renowned for his ability to proclaim the Word of God by memory. Came home, you know, he went to school, he went to seminary, and he came to his home congregation, and pastor calls him up. He says, young man, get up here. The people need some inspiration. So he gets up right in front of everybody by memory. He goes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me with your rod and your staff that give me comfort. Everybody was impressed. Here's this young whippersnapper doing this from memory, and they're all inspired and everything. Then somebody in the second pew raised their hand and they said, pastor, can we hear her do this same psalm? And he was pointing to a 90-year-old woman who was blind and used a walker. The pastor said, sure, come on up. And it took her a while. Woman gets up front, she's hunched over. You could barely hear her. And she said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I fear no evil, for you are with me with your rod and your staff that give me comfort. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in that church that day. And the young man gets up and goes to the pastor and he says, pastor, God just spoke to me. I know the psalm, but she knows the shepherd. Oh. And that's exactly how we get to know the shepherd, by going through the valley of the shadow of darkness, by dealing with sufferings in our life, by having things wind buffet us. And it's in the going through that we grow through, that our roots get deep, that we come to know Jesus in a personal way. And are you going through something right at this moment? It may not feel like the Lord is there for you, but remember what I said. He's the good shepherd. He will never, ever fail or forsake you. He's right there by you, and he's probably holding on your legs so you don't run away, and he wants to take you through the crevices and through the rivers of life and bring you to the other side. And as you surrender to him and quit struggling, you'll get to know him in a deep personal way. Your roots will run deep. So don't just go through, grow through. It's interesting. Paul the Apostle, this is what happened to him. He had a great relationship with Jesus. Read the pages of the Bible, and you will read about his revelations and his mystical experiences and the many different things that happened to him. Not so much his mystical revelations. His credentials were his sufferings. And he's talked about his beatings, the shipwrecks, the stonings, and all the different things that he went through as his credentials. In fact, he said in Galatians 6:17, he said, I bear the scars of Christ. Now, what was that? It could have been the scars from the whippings that he's received or the stonings that he had. But many scholars and myself believe that he had the scars of Jesus, the wounds of Jesus on his body. This is called the stigmata. In other words, if you know anything about Paul's mysticism, he said, I have died, I have become one with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So Jesus literally came into him, and even on his body he bore the scars of Jesus. So in other words, when Paul talked about his credentials as an apostle, he talked about his scars. He talked about his sufferings. This is where he came to know Jesus, and this is where you can come to know Jesus too. I remember the story of Johnny Erickson Tada, if you've ever heard about her. She's a young lady, just very healthy and everything, and she was going through her life, and she loved to dive and to swim. And she dove into some water that was much more shallow than she thought. And when she dove in, she broke her neck, and it ended up causing her to become a paraplegic and devastated her, demoralized her. She ended up giving her life to Christ. She actually preaches, shares her witness at some Billy Graham services. She has her own radio program. She's written books. Johnny Erickson Tada. And she's a lovely young woman. Well, anyway, she talks about her struggles and, you know, with suffering. And then she said that she read a book, and it was by a shepherd named Philip Keller. And he wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, The Lord is My Shepherd. And in the book, he talked about how he bought 30 female sheep, and he had to mark those sheep. It's called earmarking the sheep. And what they do is they take the ear of the sheep, they put it on a wooden block, and they actually take a knife, they call it the cutting knife, and they cut right into the ear of the sheep. They brand the sheep with an indelible, lifelong mark of ownership that can never be erased. So in other words, the sheep are being marked by the shepherd, and it hurts the sheep, but it also hurts the shepherd. And when Johnny Erickson read about that, she came to understand her sufferings in a different way. They weren't arbitrary and without meaning. She came to understand that God didn't give her this quadriplegia, but God was marking her. God allowed it to happen. And she saw it in a whole new way. And as she writes, she said, "Now I'm God's special possession, and my sufferings are the mark of that possession." And I want to tell you that whatever sufferings you're going through, try to see it in a new perspective. It's not just arbitrary. It didn't just happen incidentally. Rather, God will use it to mark you, to deepen you, so that you can get your roots deeper with Christ. For example, if you're lonely, well, that'll give you time to spend some time with God. Get your roots deep within God. If you have scars, you can turn them into stars. I think about my own struggle with acne, for example. As a young man, as a teenager, I had acne, and I used to be so superficial. I just lived on the surface and looked at it the way everybody looked, judged them that way. And my acne actually caused me to go from the superficial to the supernatural. And so don't waste your suffering. It will give you new perspective. And then talking about scars, I heard about this 10-year-old who was fishing. And it was in Louisiana, and he was by the bayou there, and he was doing some fishing. And he was right outside his own house, and his mother was in the house. And as this young man was fishing, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, an alligator pounced right onto his ankle and grabbed him. He started screaming, you know, "Help, help." And his mother was in the house and heard him. She comes running out. So here's the alligator and the mother in this life and death struggle. And finally, the alligator let go, and she pulled her son up into safety, brought her son to the hospital. They had to put a lot of stitches into his leg and everything, and his ankle, and his friends come over. And, you know, they, of course, wanted to see where he was wounded by the alligator and, you know, all that happened there. He said, "Well, here's my stitches and my scars on my ankle." Then he rolled up his sleeves and he said, "But this is what I'm most proud of." And you could see on his sleeve, on his arm, there were all these red scars running up. See, his mother's fingernails dug into his arm, and up and down the arm there were these scars. And he said, "These scars right here are what I'm most proud of. This is where my mom wouldn't let go." Can you see the scars of your life as where God won't let go? Can you see your sufferings where God is holding on to you? See, we're all engaged in a life and death struggle, and the alligators of life, if you will, evil of life is trying to pull us into the bayou, pull us into the pit, pull us down. But remember what I said about the Good Shepherd. He doesn't run when times get tough. He sticks by you. He holds on to you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. And so the scars of our life, if you will, if you can see it this way, I want to try to give you a new perspective. The scars of your life is exactly where God is holding on to you, and he won't let you go. I think about the sufferings of my own life. I've already talked to you about Paul. I've talked to you about Johnny Erickson. I've talked to you about other people, this young man. But I think about the sufferings of my own life. I've come to understand that God hasn't given me these sufferings, but he has allowed them to deepen me. One thing about suffering, they quiet you down very quickly. You know, you can be kind of a rabble-rouser or, you know, just attracted to the world and involved in addictions. When you suffer, you get quiet. You look for meaning. I love what Viktor Frankl said. If you know Viktor Frankl, he was a Jewish psychologist who was held in a Nazi concentration camp. He saw utter depravity. He saw suffering at its worst. And he saw people who gave up, and he saw people who went up. And what do I mean by that? Either people gave up and they committed suicide, or other people were heroic and they gave their bread away to feed other people, like Maximilian Kolbe. St. Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest who gave his life in a starvation bunker so that another man could live. So some people gave up and other people went up. Well, Viktor Frankl said, you know, when it comes to suffering, here's what he's determined. He said that you can deal with any what if you have a why. Does that make sense? You can deal with any what, any suffering, any tribulation, if you have meaning, if you have purpose, if you have some type of perspective, if you have a why. And so that's exactly what Johnny Erickson was doing. She's determined that her quadriplegia, God didn't give it to her, but God is using it to mark her as his special possession, that he is the Good Shepherd, and she was literally being earmarked. She was being branded as God's possession. Same in your life. Your sufferings can actually bring you back to God, for one thing. That's something that happened in my life. It was through the emptiness of a breakup with a girl, through the pain of past sins, that actually through that emptiness and through that brokenness, it brought me back to God. The story of the prodigal son, I use it oftentimes. It's when he's slopping with the pigs in the mud that he has this awakening, and he says, I'm going to go back to my father. So sufferings, don't waste them. They're too valuable. You can see more through a teardrop than you can through a telescope. Sufferings are so important. You can turn your scars into stars. Sufferings will bring you from the superficial to the supernatural. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd who will never, ever abandon you. One of the books that was life-changing for me, of course, Viktor Frankl, I talk about this. He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, really important book. But another book that was really, really important for me, it was a book by a young man named Tim Hensel. Tim Hensel was a mountain climber. And what happened to Tim was he had a mountain climbing accident, and he too became a quadriplegic, or a paraplegic, I believe it was. And he suffered greatly, and he wrote a book called You Gotta Keep Dancing. And in this book, he said, no matter what happens to you, your attitude is so important. In the book, he talked about the different sufferings that he had to go through, and he realized that he had a choice. And it's the same with you right now today. Whatever sufferings you're dealing with, you have a choice. You can either be bitter or better. You can either have a breakdown or a breakthrough. Suffering can either be a prison or a prism. It can either make you have a, it can either be a tombstone or a stepping stone to new life. And as I said, you can either be a victim or a victor, and you can turn your scars into stars. And I love Tim Hensel's book. It's called You Gotta Keep Dancing. And right on the front of the book, and this really touched me, he shows as the cover a scar. A scar. We all have wounds. We all have scars. Remember what I said? Paul's credentials, he said, I bear on my body the scars of Christ. Remember, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, had his scars there. That's where he became rooted and grounded in God. That's where we become rooted and grounded in him. If you will, in a mystical way, we become one with God. We become one with Christ in our suffering. I belong to a community called the Passionists. And the Passionist community was founded by St. Paul of the Cross in the 1700s. Paul of the Cross was a mystic. And he had great insight into the spiritual life. And what he proclaimed was that it's in our sufferings and in our desolation and in our scars, if you will, that there's a mystical union can occur with God that doesn't happen anywhere else. We're not just going to go through, we're going to grow through. And growing through means we get our roots deep into God. Growing through means that we come to know the height and the length and the depth and the breadth of God's love. Going through means that we grow in virtue and we become all that we can be. I want you, like Johnny Erickson, like myself, like Paul the Apostle, like so many others, to see your sufferings not as arbitrary, not as just something that just happened, but as God marking you, earmarking you as one of his sheep. And as you see it that way, you're going to realize that, you know what, there is purpose in the pain. There is meaning in the suffering, and God is at work in my life. And as you see it this way, may your roots grow deep so that no matter what storm comes into your life, you will stand tall and strong, grounded and rooted in Christ. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.